Time now on our pregame show to visit with Tom Cerruteri, head coach of the Beavers. Tom, last night may have not been a full 60-minute effort, but as the saying in the NFL goes, never apologize for a win, right?
No, absolutely, Schultz. And we always talk about you need to play for 60 minutes, you need to play for 60 minutes, but we didn't last night. But we also, again, I think at that particular time, too, we got some timely goaltending, and it was just kind of one of those muck-and-grind games for a little bit, and we survived it. And, you know, we actually had a lead in that second period when we didn't play very good, and then I thought we had a pretty good third.
You didn't score on the 5-minute major. I'll come back to that. But just how important was it to, for lack of a better term, shut their offense off for 5 minutes?
Well, that's a good point. And, I mean, obviously, too, it's deflating on the bench when you can't, you know, enter the zone with any type of possession. And we had a hard time. We had a hard time at times, Schultz. And, again, I think you have to give credit where credit's due. And I thought they did a very good job on the kill right there. So, hopefully, again, we'll make some adjustments tonight.
Is it a wholesale change that's needed or just a couple of tweaks?
Well, it's a couple of tweaks. I think we got to – and you find out – I think we got to get pucks behind them a little bit more. And sometimes, again, you got to get the puck in and you got to win some battles to get possession. And sometimes, again, I think we're a little too cute trying to you know, have possession, keep possession when we enter the zone. But this day and age is really difficult at times. And it was hard for North Dakota last night. So sometimes, again, you just got to modify things and simplify things and kind of go old school.
Your equipment manager, Toby Palmasino, was 500th game last night. What's Toby mean to the program?
He's a big part of the program, just like you are, Schultz. Just like, you know what, Tyler Christensen, Deb Slaw. I mean, there's so many people, I don't want to use the term behind the scenes, but behind the scenes that are the program. And we usually sit there, and again, who gets all the credit in the program? The coaches, the players. But, I mean, there's a whole group of people, you know, that mean so much to the program. And the fans mean so much to the program. But Toby, he does so many things that again, the average person just doesn't see, but we see it every day. And there's nobody that works any harder. And he's detailed. He cares about the players. And he treats the players good and treats the coaches good. And yeah, we're all family, Schultz. And you know that. We travel together. It's not an easy life, but it's good to see him get 500 games in. And it's great to see him get recognized as well.
More with Coach Cerruteri when we come back. Corner Bar pregame show continues on the Beaver Radio Network. Welcome back to our pregame show, part two with head coach Tom Cerruteri. RH coached and played here, Tom. He's known, though, most around, you know, our neck of the woods for just being a BSU guy. But did the two of you ever talk about why he was so intrigued about the job at BSU and why he wanted that job so much?
Well, there's a lot of different things. First off, hockey and collegiate hockey was so different in those days, Schultz. That's number one. Number two, they gave him the same salary, if not more. I can't remember. They might have even paid him more. So, again, we all know this day and age, too, you still can't take a pay cut. And, again, it didn't matter if it was an upstart Bemidji State program that's NAIA or an NCAA Division I program. Again, in those days, head hockey coaches at the collegiate level in those days, it was almost like school teacher salaries. And so he just felt, again, that was, you know, from a salary standpoint, they took care of him. But he also, again, he was really excited and enthused about starting a program from scratch. Bemidji State had a brand new rink in the John Glass Fieldhouse. At that time, they were playing in that Quonset Hut, the old, I don't even know what you call it, winter sports arena. I don't even know what you call it. It doesn't matter. But it might have sat 1,000 people. So it wasn't like he was in this glamorous facility like the old Ralph or this Ralph. So he went to a facility that was brand new. So it was an upgrading facility. Pay was about, you know, the same, if not more. But the biggest thing I think that attracted him to Bemidji was, again, starting something from scratch. He even said, too, you know, at that particular time, he wanted to be a coach and an AD, and he felt that was a good option as well right there. And, you know, so, again, that was important. And then he liked the vision of Harry Banksburg. Harry Banksburg said, I want to be a place for American players. We're a teacher's college. I want to produce coaches, and I want to develop coaches, and I want to develop players for the U.S. national program and the U.S. Olympic team. So he really loved Harry Banksburg's vision. He shared that vision with Harry, and of course, those are the reasons why he came to Bemidji.
One of the things that you've told me over the years about RH and how he kind of approached the game was his thoughts on power play and penalty kill. He didn't care about a percentage on the power play. He wanted one a night. He didn't care if he went 1 for 3, if he went 1 for 10. He wanted one every night. You know, current schedule, that's 34 a year. Last year you had 21. Year before that you had 26. Fans, heck, media, we only focus on that percentage. Why should we think like RH and just worry about a result every night?
I wish they would think that way, and I actually, you know, think that way. But then there's times you look at the percentages, because that's what you see all the time. If you go on College Hockey Stats or College Hockey News or the CCHA website or the BSU website, it's always about percentages. But at the end of the day, Schultz, see, I would rather go 1 for 10 on the power play than 1 for 3. 1 for 3 is 33%. 1 for 10 is 10%. But I'll take those 7 other options where the team, where the team right there is shorthanded and they're not scoring, so they're not attacking. So I would take that time, even though we didn't score. So that's how, in the big picture, how I look at things, and that's how he looked at things. Conversely, though, there is something about confidence, too. If you keep on going 1 for 10, I don't know what kind of state of mind your players are in either. But maybe that's a crazy, drastic analogy, but it does make sense.
What are some of the other areas where RH was a visionary about how he approached the game?
Well, I don't know if he was a visionary, but it was how he looked at things. And he was always about never beating yourself, never beating yourself. And, again, repetition. He was always big on repetition and practice. He was always big on whatever is important in a game, you got to make sure you practice it. So guys, when they're in those situations, they know how to respond. They know how to react. And I just think, again, he was ahead of his time that way. And we never beat ourselves. We did. He always emphasized doing the little things well, getting a puck out, getting a puck in, making sure, again, you don't turn the puck over at your blue line, and making sure, again, your battles. He always said the 6 pits, you know, the 2 corners behind the net, on the hash mark, in front of the net on the other hash mark, the 6 pits, you got to win those areas. So he just had a way of simplifying things for you that made you as a hockey player understand the game a little better, but what his expectations were as well.
I will preface this next question by saying rankings mean absolutely nothing, like less than nothing. But last night was your 4th victory of the year and a team that's ranked. Calendar hasn't flipped to December yet. I don't know what that means, but to me that has to mean something, doesn't it?
I don't know, Schultz. I never even thought of that until you just brought it up. But like, I don't think of things like that. We just play, and what happens, and you work on things that you're not doing well, and you talk about things that you're doing well, and you want to keep doing things, but you're always constantly in motion trying to make your team better. And I guess maybe from where I look at things and where I stand, Schultz, I have so much respect for the game of hockey. Again, beating Minnesota or beating North Dakota, it's nice, but it's not like I'm sitting there, I go home and I'm just, you know what, I'm in this euphoric world of excitement, you know, that we just won the game. I'm always nervous, but I also know it doesn't matter who you play. I've had fans come up to me and say, how do you beat Minnesota or how do you beat North Dakota, then you lose to this team? Because there's not much difference. And if we beat them, why can't they beat us, other teams? It's just our game is just so tight. It's so tight. It doesn't matter who you play. You can beat anybody and you can lose to anybody, and that's the mindset that I have. Now, beating a ranked team, I guess it's nice. But, again, I don't look at things that way. But at the end of the day, I will say this. Beating ranked teams is great for the alumni, it's great for the players, and it's great for the fans. I guess coaches, we just look at the world a little differently, and which is probably not all that bad, because, again, you got to move on quick, and you got to move on from your victories quick, but you also got to move on from your losses quick.
Best of luck tonight.
Thanks, Schultz.
Tom Cerruturi, head coach of the Beavers, starting lineups next on the Beaver Radio Network.